AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha. Always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is AP News. I'm Rita Foley. Republican Herschel Walker says he's not making any excuses after Georgia's U.S. Senate election.
Democratic Senator Raphael Warnock is the winner of Georgia's runoff election.
It is my honor to utter the four most powerful words ever spoken in a democracy. The people have spoken.
The incumbent beat Republican challenger Herschel Walker.
There's no excuses in life, and I'm not going to make any excuses now because we put up one heck of a fight.
The runoff came as Warnock led Walker by 37,000 votes in last month's election, but fell short of the 50% threshold needed to avoid a runoff. I'm Donna Warder.
Raphael Warnock's win gives Democrats a majority in the Senate for the rest of President Biden's term. Former President Trump is reacting to word that his company's been convicted of tax fraud in New York for helping executives sidestep taxes on pricey perks. Donald Trump himself was not on trial, but he says in a statement, New York City is a hard place to beat Trump. The AP's Mike Sisak.
Next up will be sentencing. That's going to be January 13th. But this is a company. This isn't a person. So nobody's going to jail. Nobody's going to prison.
The company faces a fine of up to $1.6 million. Several survivors of the December 7th, 1941 attack on Pearl Harbor are gathering there today to remember those who died when the Japanese bombed Pearl Harbor, Hawaii, taking the U.S. into World War II. About 2,400 Americans were killed in that bombing. Germany has interrupted what it says was a violent plot to overthrow the government. Thousands of police fanned out across Germany to arrest suspected far-right extremists who allegedly planned an armed coup. This is AP News.
Looking for the perfect gift? Get him a shirt from Untuck It. Untuck It shirts are designed to be worn untucked. They're the easiest way to keep him looking sharp and feeling comfortable. You can't go wrong with their super soft flannels, wrinkle-free shirts, performance shirts with stretch, and cozy sweaters that are all perfect for right now. They even have a line for her. Find the perfect gift for every guy on your list at one of 80-plus Untuck It stores or at untuckit.com. Untuck It. Shirts designed to be worn untucked.
We tried Dynavite nutritional supplement, and after a couple of weeks, we noticed a big difference. Our little Gizmo's coat was shinier, and there was a lot less scratching and shedding.
My dog smelled and scratched constantly. We bathed and sprayed her, took her to the vet, but no results. Now, a little Dynavite in her food helps Bella keep her beautiful coat with no scratching or smell.
Happier, healthier with every bite. Over a million pets helped with Dynavite.
¿Te tiene agobiado tu trabajo? ¿Sueñas con una carrera profesional donde puedas ganar más dinero y te sientas apreciado? Si tu respuesta es afirmativa, entonces Sigma Castings, una división de Sigma Engineered Solutions en Marquesan y Jackson, es tu respuesta. Son más que una empresa, son una familia de expertos dedicados que abarcan continentes. Te harán sentir apreciado de muchas maneras. Por ejemplo, el nivel básico de pago es de $18 por hora con revisiones periódicas de rendimiento. Después de los primeros 90 días de empleo, tendrás derecho a 80 horas de vacaciones más 11 feriados pagados. Aún más, ganarías un bono de $2,000 por permanecer en tu puesto. Te ofrecen un paquete de beneficios robusto, con primas bajas y excelente cobertura, y su plan de retiro 401k te va a impresionar. Se está contratando ahora para el primer turno, lunes a viernes, de 5 de la mañana a 2 de la tarde. Empieza tu nueva carrera ya con Sigma Castings en Marquesan y Jackson. Encuéntralos en Indeed o llama a 920-260-8560 y levántate en la mañana feliz de ir al trabajo.
Women hear a lot about self-care these days. Advice on ways to relax, exercise, eat healthy, and more. Those are all great. But one of the most important self-care steps we can take is making sure we're financially secure later in life. That means saving money for retirement. It's never too late to start, and it's the kind of self-care that brings peace of mind that lasts. For small steps you can take to save for retirement, visit WeSaySaveIt.org. That's WeSaySaveIt.org, a message from AARP and the Ad Council.
I love this song!
I love nachos.
Loving everything? You might be buzzed.
You know what I'd love? A ride when it's time to head out.
If you see a buzz warning sign, call for a ride when it's time to go home. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
For Civic Media, I'm Jane Nantner here with your headlines. Wisconsin Republicans in Washington want Governor Evers to ban TikTok from state government devices and delete his account. In a letter to the governor, U.S. Reps Mike Gallagher, Tom Tiffany, Glenn Grothman, Brian Stiles, Scott Fitzgerald, and U.S. Senator Ron Johnson argue the Chinese government can use the popular app to spy on users and promote Communist Party propaganda. A spokesperson says the governor's office is reviewing the letter. Outside groups spent big in Wisconsin for the midterms. Wisconsin Democracy Campaign reporting five groups spent over $48 million to benefit Republican candidates. 36 groups spent more than $44 million to benefit Democrats. The largest portion of the money, totaling nearly $79 million, was spent on the governor's race. You're listening to The Shaw, 101 FM, WAUK, 540 AM.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow is a product of Courier Newsroom and has a joint sales agreement with Civic Media. Enjoy.
All across Wisconsin from Civic Media, this is Up North News Radio. Real information, good conversation, unabashedly Wisconsin. Here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Well, good morning, Wisconsin. How are you? Nice to see you here. Hey there. Welcome to the State of Wisconsin Sense for this Wednesday, December 7th. And if I sound a little discombobulated, just give a listen to this. This is why I'm discombobulated, and I will tell you why in just a second. But first, coming up this morning, it was a rainy night in Georgia. It was a rainy day in Georgia. Kept some folks away, especially those who didn't vote early. And as a result, Raphael Warnock has won election to a full term in Georgia, defeating Trump's handpicked candidate, Herschel Walker. We'll talk about that at some point this morning. It was a very bad day for Trump overall. The special counsel that is investigating his 2016 election interference, or 2020 election interference, I should say, has subpoenaed officials in several states, including 19 subpoenas that went out to officials in Wisconsin, to learn a bit more about Trump's efforts and the efforts of his aides and allies to interfere with the will of the voters in the 2020 election. There is another new report about the size of the big budget surplus. It's a record surplus. It's something that could be, such good things could be done with it for Democrats and Republicans, for taxpayers and businesses and, you know, educators and everything. There's so many good ways to do it. Will Republicans still find a way to snatch defeat from the jaws of victory? We will talk to my friend Jeff Smith from the Wisconsin State Senate about that. What were Wisconsin Republicans in the legislature talking about yesterday? TikTok. That's their focus. Not inflation, not crime. TikTok. So, you know, they got that going for them. Let's see. This day in music history, we will all go kung fu fighting, and we'll talk to Todd Alba at the end of the show and preview what he has got coming up on his fine program. To reach us, radio at upnorthnewswi.com. Our phone number is 715-388-7155. Aaron's here in the producer chair down in Madison. Mr. Summers, how are you?
Doing pretty well this, excuse me, doing pretty well this morning, as much as it might not sound like it.
I know, same here. We're both, I'm still fighting this minor head cold, but you know, it doesn't take much when you have to talk for 2 hours for it to get in the way. And then, as if that weren't enough, I have these technical difficulties to tell you about, which is about the clacking here. I do this show at home from an iMac, and then I have a soft touch wireless keyboard that is, you know, that, so it's wireless, and it's been nice. It's got a very soft touch to it. It must be getting near the end of its life. If Aaron looked at the show notes a little bit earlier, he might have noticed that it was many pages longer, full of white space and weird symbols, because much like the old Police album, there was a ghost in the machine, and it would not stop typing gibberish. It basically was either a poltergeist or, you know, an exorcism situation. Finally got that disconnected from Bluetooth, and I had to bring out the old clickety-clackety keyboard here. So my apologies. You're going to hear me pounding out notes throughout the course of the day here, and then I'm going to have to go find myself a new soft-touch keyboard. But Aaron, I'll tell you, until you remember that you can unplug it through the Bluetooth while you're trying just to figure out how to get a key unstuck, it's a little unnerving to watch your screen doing all kinds of things you did not ask it to do.
Yep, I can imagine. I know I've had similar things, not necessarily with keyboards, but with like game controllers, especially the Nintendo Switch is known for its Joy-Con drift, where the joystick will just pick a direction and decide that it is going in that direction.
Mm-hmm. I thought, well, thank goodness I don't have like any Zoom interviews to tape or anything like that, because until I dug out the old keyboard, I mean, I was without a steering wheel basically on the car. And so hopefully this keyboard works just fine, because, you know, you start to realize how dependent you can be on technology at times. Let's look at sports here. We have the Badger men's basketball team hosted Maryland and was able to defeat 13th-ranked Maryland 64-59. Marquette beat North Carolina Central 90-78. Jim Leonard says he will not return as the Wisconsin Badgers defensive coordinator in 2023. Leonard says he will coach the Badgers through the Guaranteed Rate Bowl on December 27th in Phoenix, and then we'll head on to, you know, greener pastures from there. The Milwaukee Bucks will host Sacramento tonight. That's a 7 o'clock tip-off on Bally Sports. And the NCAA volleyball tourney resumes tomorrow. And I recall that yesterday at about this time, I was a little confused about the pairings, and so I'm going to go through those right now. Thursday, tomorrow, is the Sweet 16. The winners move on to play again on Saturday in the Elite Eight to see who qualifies for the Final Four. The Badgers are a one seed, and they will play at the Fieldhouse in Madison. They will host number 4 seed Penn State. That will be on ESPNU. It will be 30 minutes after the first game tomorrow, and that one is the 2 seed Pitt versus the 3 seed Florida. Again, that's 2:30 tomorrow afternoon at the Fieldhouse on ESPNU, followed 30 minutes later by the Badgers Penn State. Marquette is still in the tournament. They're in Austin for the Austin Regional. They're a 4 seed. They take on number 1 seed Texas on ESPN2 tomorrow. And then if they advance, they'll take on the winner of Minnesota versus Ohio State. So there, we've outlined what's going to be happening with the NCAA and the defending national champion, Wisconsin Badgers. And if time allows later, we're going to tell you how Brett Favre no longer owes the state of Mississippi $1 million. It turns out he owes the state of Mississippi about $5 million for some of his legal woes. So we'll see about getting into that and much more coming up. First, let's start with this break and then some more headlines. This is Up North News Radio.
Hey, this is Matt from Design Garden. Remember when the internet was new? Back then, you had to leave your house to start a business. Companies used to pay programmers bags of cash to get online. Now, small businesses can get online with a Facebook business page, or Squarespace, or Google My Business, or WordPress. But which tools should you use? Can you afford to go down the wrong path? Design Garden uses modern tools to build your website the right way. Find us online at design.garden. Again, that's design.garden.
This local musical interlude is brought to you by Max Inc. Radio. Dana Perry. Listen to Max Inc. Radio every Saturday and Sunday, 6 p.m. to midnight. Download the podcast at maxincradio.com. We are local music.
What grows in the forest? Our imagination and our family bonds. The forest is closer than you think. Find a forest near you at discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by the United States Forest Service and the Ad Council.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Daytime highs approaching 38 today under overcast skies, winds out of the northwest around 5 miles an hour. Lows dip down to about 27. Tonight, mainly cloudy skies. Cloudy tomorrow. Mixed precipitation possible at times. High temperatures reach up to 38. About an inch of snow tomorrow night through Friday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Eric Height. Currently, it's 28 degrees.
A progressive voice for rural Wisconsin. WAUK 540 AM. Always streaming at waukradio.com.
Oh, I could listen to Brooke Benton all day, do a rainy night in Georgia. It's just apropos that, you know, it was rainy yesterday during that special election for U.S. Senate, and that probably didn't help Herschel Walker at all. Although, again, to watch the results as they were coming in last night, it didn't look good for Walker regardless. I had it on NBC most of the time, and of course, anybody that watches that knows I'm going to be referencing Steve Kornacki. He of the khakis and the all-night shift, pointing out this board and that board and this county and that county. And even though the race appeared neck and neck for several hours and Herschel Walker taking the lead several times, when you break it down on a county-by-county basis, Kornacki was able to show how Walker was not picking up any ground from where he was in November when he got fewer votes than Raphael Warnock. And that's the way it stayed all evening. As a result, the Senate election is done. The 2022 midterms are finally done. And it ends with Warnock defeating Walker and ensuring that Democrats have an outright majority in the Senate for the rest of Joe Biden's current term in office. And making sure that the so-called red wave was a complete bust. I mean, Republicans did take control of the House, but by single digits. This is pretty much unheard of in, you know, recent history. The party in power in the White House typically loses big. They lose dozens of House seats. They lose control of the Senate. Democrats actually picked up a Senate seat, and Republicans have such a thin majority. It's still not clear that Kevin McCarthy actually has the 218 votes needed to become Speaker of the House. So there could be, I'm not promising there that it'll happen, but there still is the potential for tremendous chaos just for Republicans to elect a Speaker, much less going forward and you know, doing whatever it is that they'll do. And as we discussed yesterday, what they're going to do is a lot of phony investigations. I mean, Hunter Biden and COVID vaccines and things like that, even though they told their voters, you know, it's all about inflation and crime and things like that. But we're just not going to see a lot of that coming up. You know, these are folks who, again, have that slim majority because they were able to gerrymander districts in at least two different states. They were able to use maps that courts had thrown out, but that higher courts had either left in place or, you know, that they basically ignored and kept in the court process. What I'm saying is it's not a legitimate majority. And we know that. We know that, you know, nationwide and statewide, Republicans Democrats have a narrow majority in many cases, and in some issues have an outright and bipartisan majority on certain issues and topics. So Republicans will be caught up in the climate of investigations, always trying to cast aspersions on somebody else other than themselves, even as they will try to avoid the ongoing, very real and legitimate investigations that are going on, like the new special counsel looking into Trump's 2020 election interference that we're going to talk about in our next segment. As for Raphael Warnock, he told the crowd in Georgia last night after a hard-fought campaign, or should I say campaigns, "It is my honor to utter the four most powerful words ever spoken in a democracy. The people have spoken." Warnock said the vote is kind of a prayer for the world we desire for ourselves and our children. said Warnock, a Baptist pastor and the state's first black senator. Georgia, you have been praying with your lips and your legs, your hands and your feet and your heads and your hearts. You have put in the hard work, and here we are standing together. And he raised this interesting point about a hard-fought campaign, or should I say campaigns, because the runoff election that you have here in Georgia and you have in some other situations, maybe for varying reasons, but for Georgia, it was pretty clear that those runoffs were set up to try to dilute the black vote, you know, many years ago, in that if Democrats and especially black Democrats wanted to win statewide, they were going to have to win twice and try to win an outright majority, which, you know, the Jim Crow type Republicans at the time thought would be too high a hill for Democrats and for black voters. But you saw how hard they were working over this past month or so, despite Republican efforts to curtail early voting and to shorten the window before, you know, the runoff election. And yet it didn't work this time. And so Herschel Walker had to give a concession speech. Now, I've been seeing praise for Herschel Walker's concession speech. He said things like, you know, there's no excuses in life, and I'm not going to make any excuses now because we put up one heck of a fight. And, you know, he said a lot of other nice things, and people said, well, where's that guy who's very, you know, gentlemanly and very kind and not talking nonsense? But as I listened to it, I understood why Herschel Walker could give that speech. It was nothing more than the same speech every athlete gives when they lose a game, or every coach has to give his team when they lose a game, to say, you know, you fought the hard fight, you keep your head held high, you know, life's going to throw some tough ones at you. So in my mind, while it was nice that he actually gave a concession speech, because goodness knows, you know, Trump and others would have told him to just claim victory and then claim there was fraud. But he was man enough and graceful enough in defeat to give the concession speech, but I don't want to say that it's going to win him a Pulitzer or anything like that. You know, I mean, Walker is a multimillionaire businessman who's living in Texas, who faced questions about his past, his exaggerations of business achievements, academic credentials, his ex-wife's previous accounts of domestic violence, and of course the multiple allegations that he either sought with success or not for women to get abortions after becoming pregnant with him. So it was, I guess, a lot of people saying, how did this guy get to 49% in the first place? That's a whole different thing. That's a discussion for another time. What's important to note in the here and now is that people did the work. You know, politics is exhausting, especially when you have to go into overtime. And that's what had to happen here in Georgia. You think you're done November 8th. No, you've got to go till December 6th now. And Warnock did that. Warnock did that with a whole lot of help from folks around the country. Now, there was some distance from people near the top of the ticket. Warnock put some distance between himself and President Biden, whose approval ratings have lagged. He did bring in former President Barack Obama. As far as Walker, Herschel Walker avoided campaigning with Donald Trump, except for the final day when they did a conference call on Monday with their supporters. But ultimately, Herschel Walker joined Dr. Oz in Pennsylvania, Blake Masters in Arizona, Adam Lexalt of Nevada, Don Bulldog of New Hampshire. These were all Trump loyalists and Trump-picked candidates who ultimately lost the races that Republicans once thought that they would, or at least could, win. And instead, every Senate incumbent who was running for re-election won. Now, sadly, that also includes Republican Ron Johnson, but, you know, that's our own cross to bear here, because, you know, we had our own version of Herschel Walker, but there were just enough people in Wisconsin who were going to look past that, who would have voted for Herschel Walker if he were running up here, and, you know, instead are voting for Ron Johnson. And that's who we're going to get for, you know, another few years here. like 6 years, unless something comes up. All right, let's turn to TikTok. And I was going to ask Aaron when he comes back if he's, I don't know if he's on TikTok, because I don't, goodness knows, I don't spend a lot of time on TikTok, but apparently it's, what have I, I've certainly done my share of, you know, Instagram reels. Well, I wouldn't even say I've done my share of them. I've done them, but you know, all the kids are on TikTok, and I gotta ask if Aaron, if you've got an account, do we see you doing the Dougie or the Gritty or some other dancing on there?
Nope, none of those. I don't have a TikTok account. I am a sad old man, apparently, according to my friends.
A sad old man.
Most of them don't call me that, but there are a couple.
Well, look, I'm a little baffled, to be honest, about why there's suddenly a push now about TikTok and a concern that they're, you know, that the Chinese government can get data off of it and things like that, because we'd heard that a couple of years back when TikTok first became a thing. And actually that was why I was initially very slow to, you know, even create an account. In fact, I created and deleted like accounts three different times because I just wasn't sure if this was going to be a safe and reliable app. But it's, you know, it certainly has caught on. But I guess this is now a concern again that the Chinese government can get my data, to which I say, yeah.
Yeah, really. Like TikTok, if TikTok has these vulnerabilities, that's, of course, nothing new. Like cybersecurity, just like airport security, a lot of the time is just kind of a show. And yes, it catches a lot of things, but it can never be perfect is the problem.
Yeah, exactly. Anyway, so Wisconsin's top Republicans released a letter to Governor Tony Evers on Tuesday. The state's Republican congressional delegation called on Evers to ban the popular video sharing app from state government devices and asked him to delete his own account, arguing that the Chinese government can use TikTok to spy on users and promote Chinese Communist Party propaganda. In the letter, of course, is the usual anti-China rhetoric from Brian Stile and Scott Fitzgerald and Tom Tiffany and Glenn Grothman and Mike Gallagher, you know, and on it goes. Because again, these guys are, what was the old thing about Rudy Giuliani? Subject, verb, 9/11. You know, there needs to be something similar with these guys, because it's always, you know, it's either China or Mexican immigrants. I don't know if for Lent they could go 40 days without mentioning either one of these groups, because I'm not convinced they could go 40 minutes, because that seems to be what they think about most of the time. Well, Evers spokesperson Britt Cutaback had a great comeback on Twitter, again, to this letter that was sent to the governor. And Britt writes, quote, "My favorite part about Wisconsin Republicans' we want to work together narrative is when they send a formal 3-page letter that could have been a phone call, just so they can leak it to the press and get stories like this." In the spirit of bipartisanship, of course. So what she's saying correctly is, you know, it's nothing. It's a nothing burger. Yes, there are concerns about TikTok, but nothing that we haven't known already. And would I set up one as an official government account? Probably not. But, you know, does it require anything more than that? Does it require being banned in the U.S.? Well, if experts who look at this determine that there's a security risk, sure, you can look into it. But these are the same Republicans that love to talk about the free market deciding things, right? Let's take a break. More after this. This is Up North News Radio.
You are listening to WAUK 540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, always streaming on the Civic Media app.
Women hear a lot about self-care these days. Advice on ways to relax, exercise, eat healthy, and more. Those are all great. But one of the most important self-care steps we can take is making sure we're financially secure later in life. That means saving money for retirement. It's never too late to start. And it's the kind of self-care that brings peace of mind that lasts. For small steps you can take to save for retirement, visit WeSaySaveIt.org. That's WeSaySaveIt.org. A message from AARP and the Ad Council.
The Devil's Advocates.
Hey, Jenny.
It's up to all of us. It's not just up to Democrats. Are we ready to rid our country of this perversion and deception? You know, are we sick of massacres at churches, grocery stores, theaters, concerts? Are we sick of adults forcing children who are raped into pregnancy? When is enough enough that we're going to vote all those fascists?
I'm putting you down for Caller Hall of Fame today. We have to carry these messages, even if the Democratic Party is incapable. You keep it up, sister.
Follow The Devil's Advocates on Facebook.
Coronavirus update. I'm Rita Foley with an AP News Minute. U.S. military service members would no longer be required to get the COVID vaccine under a bill expected to be voted on this week in Congress. The AP's Lisa Dwyer.
The COVID-19 vaccine mandate for members of the U.S. military would be rescinded under the annual defense bill heading for a vote this week in Congress. It will end a policy that helped ensure the vast majority of troops were vaccinated, but also raised concerns that it harmed recruitment and retention. Republicans, emboldened by their new House majority next year, have pushed the effort in negotiations. House GOP leader Kevin McCarthy personally lobbied President Joe Biden in a meeting last week to roll back the mandate. More than 8,000 active duty service members were discharged for failure to obey a lawful order when they refused the vaccine. Secretary of Defense Lloyd Austin has recommended that the mandate be kept. I'm Lisa Dwyer.
And I'm Rita Foley.
Looking for the perfect gift? Get him a shirt from Untuck It. Untuck It shirts are designed to be worn untucked. They're the easiest way to keep him looking sharp and feeling comfortable. You can't go wrong with their super soft flannels, wrinkle-free shirts, performance shirts with stretch, and cozy sweaters that are all perfect for right now. They even have a line for her. Find the perfect gift for every guy on your list at one of 80-plus Untuck It stores or at untuckit.com. Untuck It. Shirts designed to be worn untucked.
We tried Dynavite nutritional supplement, and after a couple of weeks, we noticed a big difference. Our little Gizmo's coat was shinier, and there was a lot less scratching and shedding.
My dog smelled and scratched constantly. We bathed and sprayed her, took her to the vet, but no results. Now, a little Dynavite in her food helps Bella keep her beautiful coat with no scratching or smell.
Happier, healthier with every bite. Over a million pets helped with
Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts.
Hey, this is Jim Santel. I am the host of Morning Cannolis. Every single Saturday morning from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m., we talk about the major stories in law, in government, and the aspiration for justice in America. Delighted to have you join, call in, and be a part of our discussion right here on the networks of Civic Media.
To protect his family from disaster, Steve used his camera phone.
Done.
By taking pictures of his important documents, Steve can always have them stored online. Learn more simple disaster prep tips at ready.gov. A message from FEMA and the...
Follow Up North News with our daily newsletter. Go to our website, upnorthnewswi.com, and click newsletter on the top banner. Once again, here's Pat Kreitlow.
Welcome back. It's a Wednesday, December 7th, 2022. I'm Pat Kreitlow. Aaron Somers is here as well. And let's relive the 2020 election yet again, shall we? I know we just finished the 2022 midterms like an hour ago, but we're going to be talking about 2020 for some time to come because of, well, you know, that whole deadly, bloody, violent insurrection attack on Congress that happened, and trying to figure out all of the various ways that Donald Trump was part of a plot to interfere with what your choice was on election day. Whether you were for Trump or Biden, you had somebody trying to interfere with that and say, you know, it doesn't matter what you vote. We're going to look into that instead. Well, now that the Republicans are taking over the U.S. House, the Department of Justice has appointed a special counsel so that everything is not necessarily in the hands of Attorney General Merrick Garland, but now in the hands of Special Counsel Jack Smith. Well, Smith has just subpoenaed local elections officials in Wisconsin, Michigan, Arizona, and Pennsylvania, asking for communications with or involving former President Trump, his campaign aides, and a whole list of allies involved in his efforts to try to overturn the election. The requests were issued to officials in Milwaukee and Dane counties in Wisconsin. As Smith oversees the investigation into the presence of classified documents at Trump's Florida estate and key aspects of a separate probe involving the January 6th attack on the Capitol and Trump's frantic efforts to remain in power. And we scoot over here to a Journal Sentinel story by Molly Beck, who says that the subpoenas to Wisconsin officials seek the records of communications with 19 people, including Dane County Attorney Jim Troupas, who, while representing Trump, worked to overturn Trump's loss in Wisconsin and other battleground states. That's according to a copy of the subpoena that went to Dane County Clerk Scott McDonald and Milwaukee County Clerk George Christensen. Now, McDonald was clerk during the 2020 election and the subsequent recounts of Dane and Milwaukee counties, during which Troupas sought to throw out hundreds of thousands of absentee ballots to overturn Trump's loss in Wisconsin. Christensen confirmed his office had received a subpoena. During a news conference, Christensen said he was working with their IT department to do a thorough and exhaustive search of the 19 individuals listed as part of the subpoena. Christensen said there'd been speculation as to whether they're looking into the slate of false electors across the country, which Troupas was involved in. They're looking at all the lawsuits involving the recounts, all of which failed. And frankly, Christensen and McDonald said they don't expect that there's going to be much of anything new that comes out of this. But again, you can understand why a special counsel would want to start with an exhaustive look at all of the communications to see if there is anything new that is to be learned about what Troupas was doing, about the lawsuits, and about the fake electors. He was instrumental. He played a role in getting that fraudulent ballot of fake electors to the office of Senator Ron Johnson for potential delivery to Vice President Mike Pence as the electoral votes were being counted on that fateful January 6th. Thankfully, Pence's office told an aide to Ron Johnson, do not bring that thing over here. And that part didn't happen. But again, whenever we hear about, you know, election ballot mules and other improprieties, you have to keep in mind the only thing that's actually been documented as an impropriety and as a potential mule was Ron Johnson and the fake electors in Wisconsin and other states. The subpoenas are the clearest indication yet, the Associated Press tells us, that Smith's work will include an examination of the fake electors that were part of Trump's effort to subvert the election count and certification. The subpoenas request any and all communication from, like I said, a list of 19 different folks. Nobody expresses any surprise. They expect that, you know, the special counsel is just going to collect all of this as part of this, as I mentioned, three-pronged probe into, you know, what all Trump was trying to do to make sure that your vote didn't count. So Trump allies in several states, when you think about Georgia, we had the Georgia Senate election yesterday, and Georgia is one of those states where Trump just came right out and said, I want you to find, you know, this number of votes. And he had hoped to find a compliant Secretary of State in Georgia that would have said, you know, okay, boss, I will do that. It didn't work that way. You know, there are still plenty of Republican officials, you know, with a soul, who aren't going to allow themselves to be manipulated in that way, or who are going to cheat. And many of them paid quite a price for it. A lot of the Republicans that stood up to Trump early on were defeated or forced into resignation. Think about that Arizona Secretary of State or that county official who testified before the January 6th committee. There was a lot of carnage. And yet, where did it lead Republicans when all was said and done? Trump won in 2016 over Hillary Clinton despite losing the popular vote. He then helped Republicans lose ground in 2018. He lost in 2020, and Republicans lost control of Congress. Now all of Trump's back candidates lost again in 2022. He recently went so far as to say the Constitution should be terminated so that he can be reinstalled. He tried to walk it back, but again, he put it in writing. And so I'm just not sure how much more it will take, how much longer it will be before people again use the analogy that I've mentioned, the whole Emperor's New Clothes thing. How many more people are going to see that he is not wearing some regal robes and deserves to be put on a throne, but instead is, you know, markedly exposed to the world for what he is? Well, it's what's led to our question of the week. If you go to the Up North News Facebook page and scroll down, you probably have to scroll down a bit now because we've had a lot of posts this week, but eventually you will find a graphic that says our question of the week is, despite all of this, despite everything, do you think Trump will still be the Republican nominee for president in 2024? And we invite you to put your answer in the comment sections. And I went and looked through it last evening. And as you can imagine, by and large, people are saying no, you know, that Trump's goose is cooked and such. There was nobody saying, yes, he will definitely be the nominee. There were people that were, you know, trashing Joe Biden and mocking Democrats and things, but they couldn't bring themselves to actually say, Trump's still my guy. And, you know, so Aaron, I think it's still a very valid question, especially in light of Georgia, is, you know, what does Trump have left to take him toward the nomination? I think the only thing that could get him there is the same thing as 2016, a great big field of other candidates that dilutes the vote.
Yeah, I think that's very possible. But also, like, I think people who still support him at this point may have some delusions. Like, that's not to say that they're all bad people. It's just something must not be clicking because he, I don't know, everything he says is just worse and worse.
Yes, and look, when you look at the videos, and look, I understand that Comedy Central and other programs, you know, they're gonna look for the laughs, but you look at the videos of people at the Trump rally, and yeah, there's always going to be goofballs at everything, you know, Republican, Democrat, or what have you. But I've got the sneaky suspicion the goofballs are a larger and larger percent of the crowd, and therefore a smaller and smaller share of the total electorate, to the point where, like any candidate, you can have a small but rabid following. And because it's a rabid following, you know, you think that there is going to be a clear path to victory. For Trump, it was only because there were a ton of Republican candidates, Scott Walker among them, who could not get out of each other's way fast enough to let Trump insult them, belittle them, badger them right out of the race. Scott Walker, after a record 71 days, other candidates weren't that far behind. There are going to be at some point a Republican or two who steps up. And then does that embolden, you know, a Ron DeSantis, you know, a Rubio, a Chris Christie, a Ted Cruz? You know, how many more? How many Republican governors say, I'm going to be the alternative to Trump? And if that field is big enough, and if Trump still at that point isn't facing criminal indictment, which in and of itself would be a crime, that's probably the only scenario. I think that the Trumpers themselves are going to be quieter, at least in the first few weeks of 2023. I think that Republicans running the U.S. House, as I mentioned earlier, will have their own, a circus of their own making to deal with. And none of them will be able to scare the other person going, oh, well, I'm more loyal to Trump than you are, and wait till he finds out that you're being mean to me. I don't think Trump is going to be nearly as much of a factor.
I sure hope so. I mean, I never thought he'd make it as far as he did in 2016 until we started seeing how things were going. But the kind of person that he demonstrated himself to be and the things that he consistently said the whole time, like, there's... It just still baffles me how he got so far, besides the fact that had so much money.
6 years later, we're still like kind of a loss for words. I'd mentioned before that in 2016, I was living on an island in the Caribbean, and people, you know, throughout Grand Cayman would come up to me throughout 2016 and say, you're from America. Like, yeah. What's the deal with Donald Trump? I'd be like, I don't know. I've been here for the past 3 years. So the whole Trump phenomenon was completely lost on me. And so I just figured if I said to people enough times, you're supporting Donald Trump, you know, Donald Trump, you know, we're talking about Donald Trump here. And I thought that would snap people out of it. It did not. That turned out to be a terrible tactic. People apparently loved him all the more when you said, you know, you're supporting that guy. So he got what he got, but folks, it's been nothing but, you know, losses ever since. All right, on the history books, we're going to do music history in a bit, but of course it's also a very solemn occasion, December 7th, and there are still a handful of centenarian survivors of the attack on Pearl Harbor, and they will gather at the scene of the Japanese bombing sometime today to commemorate those who perished. Now it's 81 years ago. And that's obviously fewer in recent years, when a dozen or more would travel to Hawaii from across the country to pay their respects. The youngest active duty military personnel on December 7th, 1941, would have been 17. That would make them 98 years old today. Many of those who are still alive, the survivors, are 100 years old or more. But they will again remember the 2,400 servicemen who were killed in the bombings, which launched the U.S. into World War II. The USS Arizona alone lost 1,177 sailors and Marines, nearly half the death toll there on the Arizona. They will mark the first explosions that started just about 8 a.m., and they will remember the bravery of those who tried to fight back but were caught off guard and were outnumbered. The U.S. Department of Veterans Affairs does not have statistics for how many Pearl Harbor survivors are still living, but department data show that of the 16 million people who served in World War II, about 240,000 were alive as of August. About 230 World War II veterans die each day. So we're just over 200,000 of that 16 million people who made up that greatest generation, who made those sacrifices, and who every day for these past 80 years have either been haunted by some memories or have been grateful to have served alongside people that they lost. I hope they know again today that a grateful nation of people too young to remember that time remembers them, that we have not forgotten, and we will never not be grateful. Music history after this on Up North News Radio.
My fine guest, Maggie Dawn, attorney at law. I thought that the laws of the United States were supposed to evolve with societal norms. The vast majority of Americans, 70% approximately, believe that Roe v. Wade should be the law of the land. So that seems exactly contrary to the way the courts are supposed to evolve with our nation.
I'll just say this. The guy in Colorado can't be forced to make a gay wedding cake, but I can be forced to make a baby. I don't know about you, but that makes no damn sense to me.
Follow the Devil's Advocates on Facebook and Twitter.
Hey there, fellow working class heroes. I'm Rick Smith, host of The Rick Smith Show. And we are now on the air in Waukesha, live weeknights, 8 to 10 p.m., right here on WAUK 540 AM, 101 FM, The Shaw. Turn on, tune in, and help us rebuild the American dream. Check out our website at TheRickSmithShow.com. The Rick Smith Show, where working people come to talk. Weeknights, 8 to 10 p.m., right here on WAUK 540 AM, 101 FM, The Shaw.
Self-monitor your blood pressure in 4 easy-to-remember steps. Self-monitoring is power. Visit managerbp.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council, the American Heart Association, and the American Medical Association, in partnership with the Office of Minority Health and Health Resources and Services Administration.
Missed your favorite show live on air?
It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Cloudy skies expected today with daytime highs approaching 38. Northwesterly winds around 5 miles an hour. Lows level off around 27. Tonight, mainly cloudy skies. Cloudy skies tomorrow. Mixed precipitation possible at times. High temperatures reach up to 38. About an inch of snow tomorrow night through Friday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Eric Height. Currently, it's 28 degrees.
The Shaw 101 FM, Franklin's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24/7 at waukradio.com. Oh, oh, oh.
Everybody was kung fu fighting.
Look, I'm not going to tell you that the mid-1970s was the golden age of rock and roll. It wasn't even close. But there were more than a couple of goofball or novelty hits. And, of course, with the series Kung Fu on TV, the song Kung Fu Fighting by Carl Douglas hit number one on this day in 1974. It would be number one for 2 weeks. The song was originally a B-side that was slapped together in about 10 minutes, which again tells you I wouldn't expect to see this one in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame anytime soon. Let's see. Let me get back up to the top of my list here. We're going to do what? Better Than the Real Thing is up next. Well, that must be because U2 went to number one on the U.S. album chart with Achtung Baby on this day in 1991. While that plays, let me give you a couple of other historical notes. On this day in 1972, the last Apollo moon mission launched. That was Apollo 17. And the noteworthy thing about that, besides it being the last moon mission of our era so far, is that the crew had, you know, better cameras than ever before. And one of the photographs that they took as they were leaving Earth toward the moon is the one that is best remembered and most used. It's the one called the Blue Marble. And again, really should have brought home to more folks, you know, that this is it. This is the only planet we've got. There is no planet B. What do you say we take care of that? On this day in 2003, Britney Spears had her fourth studio album, In the Zone, hit number one on the album chart, breaking her own record of most consecutive albums released by a female artist to debut at number one with songs like Outrageous. We've got some birthdays to talk about. Let's see. The original voice of Donald Duck, Clarence Nash. Clarence Ducky Nash, voice of Donald Duck, was born on this day in 1904. Noam Chomsky is 94 years old today. Basketball legend Larry Bird is 66. And Sarah Bareilles is 43. You, of course, know her for Love Song. Head underwater. I just heard this on the radio yesterday or the day before, and it made me wonder. I did not know the backstory. If this was I'm assuming it was a boyfriend. No, Aaron tells me in the notes here that the singer-songwriter, got this song to number four after having written it as a response to her record label attempting to force her to write a new love song. What's that about? You turn to your singer and go, you've got some good songs here, but write another love song. What?
Yeah, and then she just had the courage to instead write a song that just says, no, screw you, I'm not going to write you a love song. And then it goes to number four in the U.S. and it still gets radio play.
And you know whoever that person at the record company was is taking credit for it, going, oh, yeah, I mean,
oh,
she
definitely
thinks I'm a dick. But, you know, I got her there. I pushed her. I always hate when people do that. Because sometimes it's just, sometimes, yes, you can rightly take credit for forcing somebody out of their comfort zone and good things get done. And sometimes you're just a jerk, and that's what results from it. So birthday greetings to Sarah Bareilles, who turns 43 years old today. I was looking at things that the next Congress could take up, because in our next hour, I'm going to talk to our friend Senator Jeff Smith about things that the legislature could be taking up in the new year. One thing that we haven't talked about enough is about bipartisan, real immigration reform. What you had was, you know, Ron Johnson, his billionaire backers, Tim Michaels, others, just shamelessly painting all immigrants with a broad brush. You know, that ugly streak that we've had in our country for about as long as we've had a country. And it's unfortunate. It makes me wish that each of our own ancestors could somehow make a brief appearance and remind some of these folks of just how ugly and hurtful their words are, how those same words were used against, you know, their great-grandparents back in the day. And that wouldn't it be a better thing? Again, the win-win. Wouldn't the win-win be about pursuing something that is workable, especially as the baby boomers continue to age and retire and we have a labor shortage? And yet, as Greg Sargent tells us from the Washington Post, for many election cycles, the party of quote-unquote border security has largely failed for the GOP. They have dumped enormous resources into painting migrants in the most lurid and threatening terms imaginable. Now, before this current Congress ends, he writes, Republicans have a chance to do something new. Rather than treating the southern border as a blank screen upon which to project their storehouse of demagoguery, looking at you, Tom Tiffany and others, maybe they could support an emerging compromise with an actual shot at achieving a more orderly border. Republican Senator Tom Tillis of North Carolina and Democrat Kyrsten Sinema of Arizona have reached agreement on a draft framework of immigration reform compromises that involve the fate such as the Dreamers, who were brought here as children, and the processing of asylum seekers at the southern border. The question is whether 10 Republican senators can be found to overcome a filibuster and finally provide bipartisan immigration reform that would include some path of citizenship for 2 million Dreamers, a large boost in resources to speed up the processing of asylum seekers, more resources to expedite the removal of migrants who don't qualify for asylum, and more funding for border officers. The idea behind the compromise, Greg Sargent writes, is simple. It gives Democrats protection for 2 million Dreamers and strengthened defenses of the due process rights of migrants. It gives Republicans faster removal from the country of migrants who fail to qualify for asylum, a continued restriction on applications for the next year, and more border security. The boost in resources would hopefully reduce the strain at the border by moving people through the process more quickly. And as they move through the process more quickly, they can become the upstanding citizens and neighbors that we would want, that we would expect, and that our nation and our economy needs. Now, granted, there's going to be the Tucker Carlsons out there who are going to push back and call it some kind of a betrayal. But if you can pull some of the Republicans who are retiring and some of the Republicans like Mitt Romney and Lisa Murkowski, if they can stand up and back this before this Congress is done, you finally solve something. The question for Republicans is, do you want to solve this? Or is it a convenient scapegoat that you're going to use year after year after year? Again, looking at you, Tiffany, Style, Fitzgerald, Johnson, and more. We'll be back in our next hour with State Senator Jeff Smith on Up North News Radio.
Are you dreading going into work every day? Do you want a career where you can earn more and feel appreciated? If you answered yes, then Sigma Castings, a division of Sigma Engineered Solutions in Marquesan and Jackson, is your answer. They are more than a company. They are a family of dedicated experts that span the continents. Here are a few ways they make you feel appreciated. Entry-level pay is $18 an hour with regular performance reviews. After 90 days, you get 80 hours of vacation plus 11 paid holidays. They will give you a $2,000 sign-on, stay-on bonus. They offer a robust benefit package with low premiums and great coverage, and their 401k will blow you away. Now hiring first shift, Monday through Friday, 5 a.m. till 2 p.m. Start your new career today at Sigma Castings in Markazan and Jackson. Find them on Indeed or call 920-260-8560 and wake up happy to go to work.
You are listening to WAUK 540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, always streaming on the Civic Media app.